All right. You know, I'm just going to start. I'm just going to talk. Like, oh, there you go. I'll talk really loud if it cuts out or something. So like I said earlier, I'm so, so excited to be here. Who is excited to be here? Awesome. Look next to your neighbor and say hi. Now turn to your other neighbor that you so rudely ignored and say hi. You had a bolt. Whoa. You are on top of the game. That's awesome. All right, guys. Guys, before we get rolling, I just want to pray. That's cool. All right, let's do that. God, thank you so much for bringing each and every one of us here this weekend. God, I just want to pray for every single person in this room. God, I don't know all these people, but I know that you do. I don't know what they're going through, but I know that they're going through something. I know that some of them are walking on mountaintops right now, and some of them are walking in valleys right now. God, it's my prayer that all of us would be able to see that you are with us in both. God, I pray that these young people wouldn't allow anybody to look down on them because they are young. I pray that they would see that you have a plan for each and every one of their lives. I know that because you had a plan for mine. God, be with us as we step into the story of David. As we look at his heart and what it means to be a true follower of Jesus Christ. Be with us now. In your name, amen. All right, God, I'm going to start off by reading this to you. 1 Samuel 16:1-13. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul, since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite." By the way, when I was reading this, I read the word Bethlehemite, and I'm like, oh, it's some kind of like termite or something. But it's not a bug at all, actually. It's a place. Just so you know, just so we're all on the same page. "For I have provided for myself a king among his sons." And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer," which by the way, is a young female calf that has not yet become a cow. I'm just making sure we all understand the words. Because I read the word heifer and I was like, what in the world's a heifer? "Take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord, and invite Jesse to the service. And I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me him whom I declare to you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded him and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the city came to meet him trembling. And they said, "Do you come in peace?" And he said, "I have come in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves." Just so we understand, consecrate means to dedicate yourself to a religion or a divine purpose. "And come with me to the sacrifice." And he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked on Eliab, the eldest son, and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on his height or his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab, which by the way is second oldest son, and he made him pass before Samuel, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." And Jesse made 7 of his sons pass by Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, The Lord has not chosen these. Then Samuel said to Jesse, Are all your sons here? And he said, There remains yet the youngest, but he is keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, Send and get him, for we will not sit down until he comes. And he sent and brought him in. Now, he was ruddy. Everybody's like, what the heck is a ruddy? What it means is that he had good complexion. And he had beautiful eyes. Woo! And he was handsome. All the ladies are like, oh yeah! And the Lord said, Arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. Pretty cool. Pretty cool story. What's awesome is, this isn't just a story, but this is something that actually happened. This is a real life event. And the question I start asking myself when I was reading through this passage is like, okay, like, well, why would God choose David over all the others? Why would God choose him? I find that the best way to know for sure why God chose David is to find out why he rejected Saul, King Saul. So if you step back to the previous passage, 1 Samuel 15:15-28, I want to read you this story. Now this is it's actually a pretty gruesome picture I want to paint for you. Because what the Lord asked Saul to do was to go to the Amalekites and absolutely destroy them. Okay? They were sinning against God, and God's like, okay, go in there, take them out. And he said to Saul, do not take anything. I want you to destroy everything. Everyone, everything. But what happened was, Saul decided that he was going to take everything that was valuable. So he took the good, like, oxen and calves and all the good stuff. And when this happened, Samuel went to Saul. He was pretty mad. Samuel said to Saul, Stop. I will tell you what the Lord said to me this night. And he said to him, Speak. And Samuel said, Though you are little in your own eyes, you are not the head of the tribes of Israel. The Lord anointed you king over Israel. And the Lord sent you on a mission and said, Go, devote to destruction of sinners. The Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you pounce on the spoil and do what was evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, I've obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me. I have brought Agag, the king of the Amalekites, and I have devoted the Amalekites to destruction. But the people took the spoil, sheep and oxen, the best of the things to sacrifice to the Lord our God. And Samuel said, Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of divination, and consumption is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. Okay, let's step back here a little bit. I want to help you guys understand. God sent Saul on a mission. Saul's pride got in the way. Don't kid yourself. I've heard so many people debate this, whether Saul actually had good intentions. Saul didn't have good intentions. He didn't. God sent him on a mission with specific orders. And Saul decided that he was going to add to the mission. That was verse 18. Verse 19, Saul decided that he was going to add to the mission, and in doing that, his heart was not in the right place. Because here, clearly he thought that the adjustment, that his adjustments that he was going to make to the mission were greater than what God had planned. Verse 20 and 21, Saul tried to make excuses for his actions, okay? And in like modern terms, this is probably what it would have sounded like. Come on, man! Like, I obeyed God. I went on the mission that he sent me on. I brought the king back here. And I went and destroyed the Amalekites. I destroyed them, okay? Not only that, it totally wasn't even me that took all their stuff. Come on, man! They took it. My people took it. But I mean, come on. They didn't even take it themselves. Like they took it for God anyways. So it's okay. It's okay. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. It doesn't even matter. It doesn't matter. Okay? Saul's heart wasn't right. Saul was thinking about himself. Don't kid yourself. Don't try and make excuses for King Saul. Because he was in the wrong. And he knew it. Verse 22 and 23, obeying the voice of the Lord is more important than whatever it is that you have in mind. It doesn't matter what you think you can give. It doesn't matter. Because the greatness of what you can give isn't greater than what God has given you. It isn't greater than the plan that He has for your life. You might think that you've got everything figured out. You may think that you know what you want to be. But God might have something else in mind. When I was your age, I wanted to be a police officer. And they told me I was too small. No, I'm just kidding. They're like, holy smokes, man, your legs are super thin. Just kidding, that never happened. But I have this like big plan. I want to be a police officer. Like, I want to make a difference in that way. But God had something else in mind for me. And I'm really glad He did. Because if He didn't, I wouldn't be here with you guys right now. You guys are awesome. I know it. I haven't even got a chance to meet all of you yet or talk to all of you yet, but you're awesome. You want to know why I know that? Because God made you. You didn't make yourself. You didn't just show up here. Someone created you. And He loves you. And He has a plan for you. And I bet you, there are some of you in this room right now that think what I am saying is absolute baloney. You probably, some of you, don't even believe in God's existence. Maybe there's some of you here that don't believe in God's existence. But here's the thing. It takes a lot more faith to believe that this world and what's around you came from nothing than it does to believe that somebody actually created it. And besides, if you believe in nothing, if you don't believe in God, if God didn't create the ground that you're standing on, then what do you even have to live for? Nothing. And here's why. Because one of these days you're going to die. What happens after that? You're just gone. That's it. Just gone. I would rather have hope and believe that my life will go on. I mean, if I'm standing here right now, that in and of itself is something supernatural. My presence here on this earth is supernatural. So how come I can't believe in something that's supernatural to come? Why is it so hard to believe in something that I could live after I die if I didn't live before I was alive? Why is it so hard to believe that I can live after I die if I wasn't alive before I lived? Think about that for a second. And here's the thing. There's so many of us. All we care about is what people think of us. That's it. It's all we care about. But here's the thing. I don't give a stink what anybody thinks. And here's why. Because I know that someone created me and he loves me. And I know that he looks at the heart. That's how God chose David. He looked at his heart. 1 Samuel 16, 6 and 7. When they came, he looked at Eliab and thought, surely the Lord has anointed him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on the outward appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees, not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. How much time did some of you spend looking in the mirror this morning?
An hour?
An hour?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's incredible. You had to shave. Did you an hour shave? Your beard must be huge. It was big, okay. What about you? 10 minutes? Well, good job. You look great for 10 minutes in there. 15 minutes. You had 15 minutes? I underestimated you, boys. What about you?
0 seconds, 0 minutes.
0 seconds, 0 minutes. I thought so. No, I'm kidding. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. Oh, geez, that's loud. Yeah. How long have you guys looked in the mirror? You slept all day? But like, you must have done something with your hair. 2 hours?
Probably, yeah. 5 minutes.
5 minutes? Okay, well, some of you have spent a lot of time looking in the mirror today. Here's my question. Looking in the mirror, there's nothing wrong with it. Straightening your hair, plucking your eyebrows, washing your face. There's nothing wrong with this. There's nothing wrong with it at all. But my question is, what are your intentions when you look in the mirror? What are your intentions to make yourself look beautiful? Because if your intentions are to get somebody else's attention, because you're worried that they're not going to like you, if you don't look a certain way, then your intentions, they're flawed. Because somebody should like you, somebody should love you in spite of your appearance. I'm just picturing some of you girls looking in the mirror this morning. Yo, you going to school today? Girl, I've been straightening my hair for a whole hour. He better notice me. Okay, because I've been straightening my hair for a whole hour. Girl, slay. Slay queen, slay. And then like you get to school and you're just like walking through the hallway. Sorry, I didn't go to school. I don't even know what a hallway is. So I'm like walking through the hallway, just like, I feel really pretty about myself today. Yeah, girl, you look so good. So good. Slay. This sounds about right. I have to say that some of you look really good right now. Like, some of you look awesome. Which is why I assumed there were some of you that spent a long time looking in the mirror. Now, some of you look great. You spent no time whatsoever. So that's awesome. Good for you. God's blessed you. You've accomplished something amazing. In fact, this room is full of some of the most beautiful people I've ever seen. I mean, if you look this good right now, because you spent so much time focusing on what your outward appearance looked like, how amazing do you think your heart would look if you spent time focused on trying to be kind to others, trying to build each other up instead of puffing up yourself? If I spent the same amount of time focused on my heart as I do spend focusing on my outward appearance, if we all did that, I think the world would be a whole lot better of a place. And I think that this is why God chose David to be king. I do. It's because of his heart. I want to read a little bit of this to you. This gives you a little bit of sense of David's heart. Psalm 63, 1 through 8. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you. In a dry and parched land where there is no water, I have seen you in the sanctuary and behold your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life. Get that. Your love is better than life. Here's why. Because when life doesn't care about you, God does. And so he says, my lips will glorify you. I'll praise you as long as I live. And in your name, I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied as with the riches of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night because you are my help. I sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand holds me up. When you've fallen down, God's hand picks you up. And David knows that. And he believes that. I'm going to close this out here. And I just have one word for you. I believe that God has something special planned for you this weekend. Each one of you are so special. Let's all close our eyes for a second. I'm not going to play any tricks on you. I just want us to try and focus. Just close our eyes. No looking around. God has a mission for your life. Here's what I want to know. Will you say yes to that mission? Or do you have better plans? You may have doubts and you may have fears, but that's okay. I'm living proof that you can still have a great life. You can still love what you do if you follow what God has planned for you. You may think that you're too far gone to make a difference in the world. You may think that your heart's too far gone, but let me tell you, when the world looks at your outward appearance, God looks at your heart. He didn't have to die if you were perfect. If you were perfect, we wouldn't need to have hope. If you were perfect, we wouldn't need to have faith. But we're not perfect. So we need to have hope and believe that there's something greater. When you say you're not good enough, when others say you're not good enough and it hurts, God says you are good enough. When they say that you're useless or you're worthless, God says that you are beautiful. God says that he has a plan for your life. When you feel like you can't live past tomorrow, God says, I need you to live past tomorrow. Because I need you to go here, because I have a mission for your life. God, thank you so much for having a mission for our life. God, thank you so much for not being focused on our outward appearance, but focused on our hearts. God, I just pray that each and every one of us would stop looking on the outward and start looking inward. And realizing that it's the heart that makes a difference. It's those who have a heart that change the world. It's those who have a heart that can walk up to somebody and stand up for them when they're being bullied by everybody in the school. It's those that have a heart that God uses to give them a reason to live. God, I pray that we just see that. I pray that we wouldn't miss it. God, I pray that if there's anybody in this room right now that doesn't care that you created the world, I pray that you just break down that wall. I pray that you'd help them see that you have a plan for them. In your name, amen.